What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? That's right. I'm manipulating my device. Right? We live in an age where we're all aware of the power of touch. The power of touch. Usually on our phone or on our pad, our tablet, we're all familiar with the power of touch. Now, the power of touch can be used for great good, but it can also be used for evil. Through the power of touch, I can complete and submit a homework assignment. I can transact business. I can even cultivate a relationship. But also, through the power of touch, I can set off an arsenal or a bomb which could completely obliterate a whole city. I could enter into a chat room that's suspect and cultivate liaisons that are suspicious or even immoral. But the power of touch is the age that we're in. In fact, about 5.5 years ago, even though I was halfway across the ocean, thousands of miles away in Asia, through the power of touch, I was able to complete about 95% of a transaction and never even come and look or set foot in a house and practically close on a house without ever having come through the power of touch. Well, we're in a new year, and maybe this morning you're in need of a powerful touch. Maybe you yourself, over the Christmas holidays, got the flu. Or maybe you knew someone who got the flu, and you need a powerful healing touch from the Lord. Maybe you went on a vacation that wasn't so good of a vacation, and you need a vacation from your vacation. Because on your vacation, maybe one of your children got lost on the beach, and you spent hours trying to find him or her. Or maybe on Christmas Day, when it was supposed to be a time of singing and joy, there was actually sadness and crying. Maybe the holidays are over and you're about to go back to school. You're about to go back to your place of work, or you're going to return to some of those relationships which in your mind are somewhat toxic. And you need a powerful touch to free you from this bondage of toxicity that you're about to face. Do you need a powerful touch this morning? Well, this morning, as we continue in our new year to look at our main character in Mark's gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see how a powerful touch from the Lord can help us. Do you need a powerful touch from the Lord this year, this week, today? Well, turn with me as we continue on in Mark chapter 5. We're picking up in verse 21. And in verse 21, Mark tells us that Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side. We've just seen Jesus in the last several weeks. He's demonstrated his power over nature. And after doing so, he then crossed to the other side. He was probably in Capernaum, and then he crossed to the other side. And he then demonstrated his power over demons. And we think it's probably on this east side of the Sea of Galilee, near Gergesa. But then, after casting out that demon, verse 21 tells us that he crossed again in the boat to the other side. So he's going back to the west coast, probably going back to Capernaum, you know, that left coast there of the Sea of Galilee on the west side. He's probably heading back there. And verse 21 tells us that as he crossed back to that west side, once again, our celebrity, more celebritous than Chris Tomlin, a great crowd gathers about him, and he's by the sea. Verse 22 tells us that, and if I can have Jesus come on up for a minute, then came one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, this was a ruler. He may not have been the chief ruler. He might have been an associate ruler, you know, an associate pastor, maybe not the senior pastor. His name was Jairus. And seeing Jesus, he falls at his feet. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that? Thank you, Jesus. He falls at his feet. You may. All right. So stay. You may. And then Jairus, he implores him earnestly. Okay, there's that word again, implore, parakleo, where we get our word paraclete, the Holy Spirit. But he's begging, he's beseeching, he's pleading earnestly. And what is he saying? He's saying, my little daughter has the ends. The literal word is, she has the ends. She's at the end of her life. She's on the brink of life and death. Okay? She's at the point of death. Come and touch her. Come and touch her. Come and lay your hands on her so that she might be saved. The literal word there is sozo, which is our word for saved. Come and touch her that she might be saved. We can also translate it that you may heal her, that she may be made well. And oftentimes in the Bible, when we perform a physical miracle, the real point is to get to a spiritual miracle. So Jairus doesn't know that, but we know that as we're reading Mark's narrative. And Jairus is saying, come, save her, make her well and live. And so we start to head over back to my house. Come on, we're going to head over. And Jesus is coming with me. Okay, we're going to just put Jesus back in the crowd here for now. Go ahead, Jesus. Okay. All right, so Jesus is back in the crowd. The more celebritous than James Harden. Okay, you made a pretty nice three-point shot the other night, right? The crowd is still following him. And Jesus is so popular, they are pressing, they're thronging about him. The word can also be translated, they're pressing in about him, okay? So he's heading to Jairus' house. But on the way, while we're there, there was a woman, and she had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Now, this is probably menstrual bleeding. So this is a terrible condition for her to be in. Not only is she have the physical pain and problem of bleeding, hemorrhaging, but there's a social ignominy because of this menstrual discharge continuously going on. She is unclean. She cannot associate socially with others. She's dirty. She's unclean. And in fact, anyone who touches her will also become unclean. But look at the difficulty, the problem of her situation, which we find in verse 26. And there's four participles here that tell us about it. She suffered much under many physicians. She spent all the money that she had. Look at the completeness, the superlative nature. All the money, many physicians, no better. The comparison, she no better. In fact, she got worse. You ever been to a medical facility like that? You know, they joke about these kinds of facilities. Yeah, these are in different parts of the world. Yeah, these are the places where you go into the hospital and you come out more sick than when you went in. This is what happened to this woman. Spent all the money that she had. Saw multiple diagnoses. Nobody could figure out what was going on. Anybody ever been in a condition like that? This is the condition that this woman was in that we meet on the way to Jairus' house. But what does she say? She heard the reports. She heard about this man, Jesus, this miracle worker, verse 27. So she comes up from behind him in the crowd and says, "Can I just touch? Can I touch his garments?" And she's thinking, verse 28, "If I can just touch his garments, I will be saved." There's that word again. It's in the Greek, sozo. I will be saved. I will be made well. And then here is our word that we see all the time, over 40 times in Mark. Immediately, right? Pronto. Mashang. Her bleeding stops, dried up, and she could feel in her body that she was saved, healed of her disease. Now, she's not the only one. Jesus, verse 30, senses in himself that power had gone out from him, and here's our word, immediately. Immediately, Jesus he turns about in the crowd and he gives the impossible exam question to his students. He gives this is a calculus question for a kindergartner. Because he asked them, "Who touched my garments?" Now the disciples, they know that this question is, you know, college level, and they're just in kindergarten. And so they say in verse 31, "Jesus." You see the crowd pressing in on you, you know? You're Chris Tomlin here, James Harden, okay? You know? And you say, you give us this impossible final exam question, "Who touched me?" You know, what we ain't going to pass this class, Jesus. Okay. But, you know, Jesus, he's not satisfied. He doesn't want to just be some factory, impersonal, churn out the miracles kind of guy. You know, he doesn't want to just be, "Okay, go on to my website, click here, boom, and boom, you get your blessing." No, there's a personal nature to all of this. So he looks around to see who had done it. And the woman, knowing what she had become, this new state that she's in, she comes in fear and trembling. Maybe because she's in awe of what Jesus had done for her. Maybe because she fears that she has now made Jesus unclean. We're not exactly sure. But she comes and she does the same thing. What does she do? Now, my woman kind of left. We have a sub. But she does the same thing. Jesus, can you stand up for us again? That's right. We got to have a woman come and bow before Jesus. Anybody willing to do that? Okay, it's the same word. Yeah. They're falling at his feet. We add a preposition to it, but it's the same word. Thank you, woman, for bowing before Jesus. You may. And then she spills it all. She's transparent. She tells all that has happened. She told him the whole truth. And then he says to her, it's the same word that we used for the daughter, Jairus' daughter. He says, daughter, and here I think is the key in this pericope, the key verse, your faith has, guess what that word is? Sozo, saved you, has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So friends, Jairus was in need of the healing touch of Jesus. He asked Jesus to come and touch his daughter. The woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, in a little bit of a reversal, wanted to touch Jesus. They were both in need of a powerful healing touch of Jesus. And maybe you this morning too are in need of the powerful touch of Jesus. So would you beseech Jesus' powerful touch to heal you? Would you do that this morning, today, this week? Now, you may need a physical, powerful, healing touch from Jesus. So beseech the Lord to heal you. Has anyone ever had a disease or known someone that had a disease that was life or death? They were on the brink of life or death. Has anyone known a person like that? Or you thought or you felt? Yeah, and maybe you prayed for that person. I think we had a situation that seemed like that when Daniel was barely 1 year old. We were in Asia, and one morning he just didn't seem like he could breathe, and he was having a hard time breathing. We were very scared because we're in Asia, we're around hospitals. That was probably like the hospital that this hemorrhaging woman had gone to, and we didn't know what to do. He was having a hard time breathing. So all we did is we just called. We couldn't make it to the International Fellowship that day. We called the International Fellowship. We said, Daniel's having a really hard time breathing. We don't know what to do. Would you just pray? And it was like, what? I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Yeah. Okay, what? Daniel's having a pray? Okay, pray. So they prayed. And then within minutes, we just hear Daniel. He kind of starts to cough. And I don't know what happened, but we prayed, we beseeched Jesus, and I still drove him 2 hours to a Western hospital after that to get him checked out. And when we took him there, the doctor said, oh yeah, his lungs are clear, everything. So if you are in need of a physical, powerful touch for the Lord, beseech the Lord to give you his powerful touch. But I want to apply it to something else this morning. I wonder if, like the scriptures, if not only a physical healing is what we need, but maybe there's an emotional or a spiritual healing that we all need. And I wonder if there's diseases out there that we need the powerful touch of the Lord. Could it be something like a pruritus? A pruritus. You know, I was with some friends this last week, and our whole conversation was dominated on our children and how we can have our children succeed and get into that top-notch college. And that They were telling us stories of how they'll even pay a consultant here in America or even in Asia to help coach your child. Take these classes, thousands of dollars. Help take these classes. Do these extracurricular activities. This is how you apply, just so that they can gain that societal approval of getting into that top-notch college. And I wonder if some of us are suffering from the disease of approvitis. Now, it doesn't stay in your teens. Believe me, when you reach 50, 60, 40, 70 years old, you can still catch approvitis. And you're just trying to win society's approval. We might need to ask God for his powerful healing touch to heal us from approvitis. I wonder if some of us might be suffering from gadgetism. You know, it's been the Christmas season, and nothing wrong with it. I myself bought a new phone for some of my family members. But I wonder, do we need to be delivered from gadgetism? I was in the certain brand name phone shop this last week, and I, for the very first time, I saw this thing called, you know, blank blank X. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, blank blank X. And I was sitting there and I said, looking at that price tag, you know, you can get 512 gigabytes on this X. You know what I'm talking about, X? Okay, almost $1,500. I mean, I could look at it. I can do that, you know. But I wonder, do we need to ask the Lord to heal us, a powerful touch of the Lord? So, do you need a powerful touch from the Lord? Beseech him to heal you. Now, our Jesus, but what if God doesn't do it? What if he doesn't deliver you in that way that you think he should? He doesn't get you into that college, or he doesn't give you that promotion. Maybe he doesn't heal you. What if the person even dies? Well, that's what happens next. Jesus, he got held up a little on his way to my house, to Jairus' house. Because while he was still speaking, people came from the leader's house and they said to him, "Hey, your daughter's dead. Don't bother to teach her anymore. She died. He didn't make it in time." Now Jesus overhears this and he says to the ruler of the synagogue, and this is the key verse here in this pericope, "Don't fear. Don't fear. Me phobeo." Phobia. Me phobeo. Don't fear. Mano pestuo. Only believe. Only believe. That's the key verse. So, Jesus, he doesn't want to show his miracles to the crowds, so he takes a small group. He allowed no one to follow him except his D group, his discipleship group, right? Peter, James, and John. That's right, Alicia. Okay. And he comes to the house. He comes into the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus, he sees commotion, people crying, weeping. Some of this is probably professional. They actually paid people to mourn, to honor the dead, okay? He enters in and he says, and then he makes his second, you know, incredible statement. First is, "Who touched me?" You know, next he says this. He enters and he says, "Why are you guys crying? Why is this weeping, commotion? Child's not dead. She's just sleeping." They don't let Jesus hear the end of it. Verse 40, they're laughing at him. Jesus has lost it. What's wrong with him? Now, it could be that, you know, Jesus is just saying she's in a coma, but I don't think so. From what we see here in Mark, Mark is pretty much saying the child has dead. It died, at least for now. So Jesus, with this kind of lack of respect, he's certainly not going to show all his goods to everybody, right? So verse 40, he puts them all outside. He just takes the parents and his D group, right? Those who are with him. And they go into the child, and then what does he do? He touches her. His powerful touch takes her by the hand, and he says, this is Aramaic, okay, which is the common language that Jesus probably spoke, even though the New Testament was written in Greek, but this is Aramaic, and we have parts of Aramaic in our Bibles. Talitha kumi, which means get up, girl, get up, okay? And here's our word, pronto, immediately. The girl gets up, walks, and interestingly enough, she's 12 years old. Where did we hear that word, that number 12 before? The hemorrhaging woman, right? She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. This little girl is 12 years old. And again, here's our word, immediately, they are overcome with amazement. Wow, wow. But again, Jesus doesn't want to just be a miracle worker. He doesn't just want to be just, I'm going to do a miracle for you. There's a personal nature that he wants to engage in. And so he strictly charges them that no one should know about this, although fat chance that that's going to happen, right? I mean, and he told them, it's so practical. I love Jesus. Perhaps to highlight the contrast of what has just been done, you know, hey, go get her a pizza. You know, that's really what with, I mean, I just love the practical nature. And this is also to show that this is not a resurrection, okay? A resurrection is when you get a glorified body and you're not going to die again. This girl, she has to keep going through the daily rigors of life. She's going to die eventually. So she was more resuscitated. So she still has to, you know, brush her teeth, eat some wonton mien and all that to keep going in life, okay? So Jairus and his family, they could see that Jesus was more powerful, more valuable, had more authority than death, because Jesus conquered death. And so friends, if you need a powerful touch from the Lord today, would you also believe that Jesus has greater authority and is more superior over death and life? Okay? Now, has anyone ever seen a resuscitation or resurrection back from the dead? Anybody? Anybody ever? I personally never have seen a resuscitation, although last week, those of us who were at CMC heard the story of David Platt, right? He said that that there was a resuscitation in Southeast Asia, and that there was a man who had apparently died, but for the sake of the gospel, they went, they preached the gospel, they prayed over him, and the guy coughed, you know, and he said, you know, he doesn't have the medical evidence to verify that this was a resurrection, and these people, or resuscitation, these people certainly may not have the medical know-how to know when someone has come back to life, but they certainly know when someone is dead. Okay, and he says they knew he was dead, and somehow he coughed and he came back to life. And he said, well, if it wasn't a resuscitation, God sure did pick a timely time to have that man cough, because they were able to preach the gospel and a lot of people believed here in this unreached people group in Southeast Asia. Now, so friends, God is more powerful. He has authority over the winds and the wave. He has authority over demons. He has authority over disease. And he has authority over death. And so, friends, as we seek to have that healing touch from the Lord, let us also affirm that Jesus is more valuable. He's superior than any, than even death, than even life. And I was talking to my daughter about this. I said, Pamela, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. How can Jesus' superiority over death prove that he has superiority even over our lives? I said, that preaches well. It sounds good, but help me figure that out. And she helped me. You know, it's good to talk to your family members about your sermons, by the way. Any of you ever want to be a preacher one day? She helped me because she did the little, you know, seven is greater than five. You know, those of you who go to Seven Lakes, Cinco Ranch, you know, they always say seven is greater than five. You know, that's pretty simple math, right? And you know, Cinco Ranch always says, yeah, but you know, five is greater than seven when you're trying to be the chair of the orchestra and all that. And they do all that debating and all that stuff. But seven is great. So Pamela helped me figure this out. And here's how it goes. See, when you think death is greater than life, because death can end life. But when Jesus conquers death, what do we get? Jesus is greater than death and life. And so, friends, I hope that this morning, as you need a powerful touch from the Lord, you will see that Jesus is more superior than anything that this life has to offer. And so, yes, when you're in that relationship and you're thinking, she likes me and I like her, you know, and we got this groovy thing going, okay, groovy is not a word we use anymore, then yes, you do say in that moment, my Jesus is greater than that relationship. Yeah, when you're shooting that free throw in the basketball game and it's on the line, and yeah, you can think on there. You know what? It don't matter if we win or lose. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. He has superiority over death and over life. And that's my prayer for you. Because those of us who've seen a loved one meet the Lord Jesus recently, and I've been over my mom's dead body for hours just after she passed, and I've been embedded more deeply to know that to live is Christ. To die is to gain. I want to meet Jesus more than anything in this life. Than anything in this life. So friends, do you need a healing touch from the Lord? Beseech the Lord Jesus to have his healing touch heal you. And believe that his healing touch is superior, more authoritative than anything this world can offer. You know, when I come home, my wife, she wants me to give her a healing touch. Because when I've been away, it's almost life or death. Because what happens is that these critters, they come out from the crevices of our house. They're called roaches. And my wife, at the brink of life and death, yearns for me to come home and give the healing touch. Because I'm the only one who can do it, and I'm training my boys to do it, but I got the healing touch. And when I give that healing touch, she is free from life and death. She can live again. But you know, after all is said and done, my wife knows that she doesn't just want me because of what I can do for her. She wants me because of me. And I'm more valuable than even what I can give to her. And we might hug and have relationship again. Friends, that's my prayer for you. That as you seek the healing touch of the Lord, you will not only be blessed by what he can give to you, but you will be blessed by the healer himself. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your powerful healing touch. May we value the Lord Jesus Christ above all, because you have conquered death. And because you have conquered death, you have authority over all of life and are superior to anything this life can offer. Thank you for your healing touch in Jesus' name.